Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Monday, December 12, 2022. The U.S. ambassador in South Sudan says South Sudanese leaders should hold human rights violators accountable.
Commitment to human rights is a foundational element in the U.S. relationship with South Sudan.
And health officials in South Sudan declare measles outbreak in the country.
The National Ministry of Health hereby declares measles outbreak in South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Two diplomats in Juba are calling on South Sudanese leaders to act urgently to end human rights violations and hold perpetrators of crimes accountable. Michael J. Adler, the U.S. ambassador to South Sudan, said the commitment to human rights has been central to U.S. support for its people. The Norwegian ambassador to South Sudan says his government is also worried about threats to human rights. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
Michael J. Adler, the U.S. ambassador to South Sudan, says the United States is concerned by credible reports of continued human rights violations and the impunity enjoyed by those perpetrating such acts in South Sudan.
Commitment to human rights is a foundational element in the U.S. relationship with South Sudan. It has been the driving force behind U.S. support for the people of this country from its very beginning, which dates back decades before South Sudan's independence in 2011. This commitment remains as strong as ever today.
Speaking on Saturday to mark International Human Rights Day, Adler called on South Sudan's leaders to act with urgency to end human rights violations and to hold perpetrators accountable.
In that light, the United States is gravely concerned by credible reports of continued human rights violations and the impunity enjoyed by those perpetrating such acts. Many of these violations occur within the context of subnational violence, such as in the ongoing conflict in Upper Nile State. It is clear that political actors in Juba bear responsibility for much of the violence in Upper Nile State.
Ambassador Adler says it is clear that political actors in Juba bear responsibility for much of the violence in Upper Nile State, and they must work to end it. Fighting broke out last month in the eastern part of Upper Nile State, which has been a hub for intercommunal violence and political conflicts in recent years. The situation has worsened over the past year because of fighting among different factions of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition. Aid agencies report thousands of civilians have been displaced by the conflict. Adler says the U.S. government is also deeply concerned about sexual and gender-based violence and extrajudicial killings reported in some parts of South Sudan.
Other significant violations pertain to limitations on internationally recognized rights, such as freedom of expression, that are essential elements for a stable, thriving society and open civic space. Those who work to advance human rights in South Sudan are helping to build a better future for the South Sudanese people. They do so with our support and respect.
Lincoln Berryman, the Norwegian ambassador to South Sudan, says Norway is also concerned about threats to human rights.
Norway is a staunch supporter of human rights in South Sudan. On Human Rights Day, we pay tribute to human rights defenders and civil society for their work to improve the lives of all South Sudanese. We are concerned by the many threats to human rights in South Sudan, including conflict-related sexual violence and restrictions on civic and political space.
This year's International Human Rights Day was marked under the theme, Dignity, Freedom and Justice for All. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
Still on human rights issues, some civil society activists in South Sudan are calling on the government to do more to end human rights violations across the country. A government minister says the government is committed to protecting human rights across the country. Juliana Shiapai has more for VOA from Juba.
Opia Moses Kirsuk is the co-chairperson for the National Human Rights Forum in South Sudan. He says they call upon the leaders of South Sudan to act in urgency to end human rights violations happening across the country.
We members of the civil society and the international community calls upon the leaders of South Sudan to act in urgency and to end the human rights violations and to uphold the perpetrators accountable for their actions. The commitment to human rights, fundamental freedoms, enshrines in the transitional constitution of the Republic of South Sudan, it is our duty to ensure that the citizens enjoy those rights.
The comments were made as South Sudan joined the rest of the world to mark the International Human Rights Day on Saturday. Benny Gideon Mabur, the commissioner at the South Sudan Human Rights Commission, says South Sudan became a country because its citizens fought for human rights.
At our country level, South Sudan, I think you can quite agree with me that these men and women in uniform and the people of South Sudan in their entirety took up arms to fight for human rights. It is human rights that encompasses or contains all basic source of livelihood. Right to life, to human development, to own property, to have a participation in public life, to have a fair hearing, to have access to adequate services. And because South Sudan is a member of the regional and international community, we are not an island.
Joseph Malik Arop, South Sudan Deputy Minister for Justice and Constitutional Affairs, said his ministry is committed to ensuring human rights are respected across the country.
I would like to assure the people of South Sudan, a noble community of human rights in particular, that the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs is much concerned about human rights in their country and committed to do its work and task in accordance with its mandate as is stipulated in Constitution and revitalized peace agreement on resolution of conflict in the Republic of South Sudan.
The revitalized peace agreement stipulates the need to restructure and reconstitute some existing commissions, including the South Sudan Human Rights Commissions at the national level and state level. For VOA News, I'm Juliana Shapai in Juba.
South Sudan's health ministry has declared a new measles outbreak in the country. Health officials are calling on the public to observe preventive measures while the government ramps up its outbreak management. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Dr. John Rumono, the Director General for Preventive Health Services at the National Health Ministry, says the ministry has confirmed cases of the disease in 22 counties across the country.
The National Ministry of Health hereby declares measles outbreak in South Sudan. The National Ministry of Health, together with partners, is undertaking the following measures: immediate epidemiological investigation to determine the extent of disease transmission, sensitization to educate the public about symptoms, signs, and dangers of the disease, strengthening routine immunization services across the country, conduct measles immunization campaigns, and manage complications arising from the disease.
Rumono told the reporters in Juba on Sunday there could be several unreported cases and deaths. He says South Sudan has witnessed repeated outbreaks of measles since 2021, largely because the COVID-19 pandemic interrupted routine immunization services and because supplementary immunization efforts have not been adequately implemented.
Cumulatively, 2,471 measles cases and 31 deaths have been reported in 22 counties and all the 10 states of South Sudan. However, due to traditional beliefs among many communities in South Sudan, there could be unreported cases and deaths from the communities.
Rumono says the first sign of measles is usually a high fever, which begins about 10 to 12 days after exposure to the virus and lasts 4 to 7 days. Symptoms also include a runny nose and red and watery eyes. Small white spots can develop in the mouth in the initial stage. After several days, a rash erupts, usually on the face and upper neck, and it can spread over the body. If not well managed, Rumunu explains, measles can lead to complications and even death. He says the last measles immunization campaign across parts of the country was in 2020, and that about 85% of children have received the necessary two immunizations, which is below 95% recommended target. Rumunu says the interruption has led to an increased number of unvaccinated children, exposing them to the risks of getting measles and potentially increasing the development of outbreaks. The health ministry is calling on the public to be alert and urges people to take precautionary measures.
Avoid or minimize direct contact with children infected or suspected to be infected with measles. 2. Report and immediately take children suspected to have measles to the nearest health facility. 3. Take unvaccinated children below 2 years for immunization in the nearest health facility. We therefore call upon all partners to join the fight to quickly control the current outbreaks as a short-term measure as we look for and to strengthen the overall routine immunization services in South Sudan.
Measles is a highly contagious viral disease, and the World Health Organization says it caused nearly 130,000 deaths worldwide last year, with unvaccinated children at highest risk. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, African heads of states are in Washington for the U.S.-Africa summit. Find out more after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
who comes first in your life?
My sister comes first because she was the one who raised me. She taught me how to do everything, so she comes first.
Definitely God, but I think when talking about people, I think my family and my friends, just people who I've, you know, surrounded myself with.
I think the woman that I love, every moment I think about her, every moment I wish I'm around her, because she makes me happy. She gives me a lot of peace. She has a way of helping me to just relax and calm down.
My mom comes first in my life because she has really done a whole lot for me, and if there's anything, I would really want to do something to honor her.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit kicks off Tuesday in Washington, where President Joe Biden will host about 50 African leaders, their delegations, and Africans in the private sector and diaspora communities in the United States. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo sat down with the dean of the African diplomatic course in Washington.
Serge Mambouli is the Republic of Congo's ambassador to the United States and the dean of the African diplomatic corps. He told VOA that he's been working with White House and State Department officials for months preparing for the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit.
Our expectation is that first, the cooperation must be strengthened between individual African countries and the United States on a bilateral level, and also on the continental level between Africa and the United States. We want this summit to be also the contribution for the United States to the success of the Agenda 2063 of the African Union.
Agenda 2063 prioritizes inclusive social and economic development, continental and regional integration, democratic governance, and peace and security to reposition the continent as a dominant player in the global arena, the African Union says.
We, Africa, we need energy, we need infrastructure, we need financing, and we need good health to develop Africa. So if this summit can contribute to the cooperation and to the realization of our cooperation between the United States in those sectors, mainly, and including other sectors, that will help a lot.
President Barack Obama convened the first U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit in 2014. Since then, a lot has happened. Jude Moore, senior policy fellow at the Center for Global Development, says this year's summit comes at a crucial time.
On the African side, they will be expecting the U.S. to take a position on some of the issues that are now confronting the continent: inflation, fuel, the war in Ukraine, and the impact on lives and livelihoods. But more importantly, this is going to come after COP27. And African leaders are going to be looking to the U.S. for leadership in responding to the climate crisis.
Last year, a U.N. report on Africa's climate found the continent was heating up more and faster than other regions in the world. Yet Africa is responsible for less than 4% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions. Mambouli addressed the needs of the Congo Basin Blue Fund, an effort to help the region's countries to rely less on forest-based resources.
For instance, in Congo Basin, in a blue fund within the Congo Basin, that need to be funded if we have to continue to protect the planet on our side. Promises have been made by different countries, but we haven't seen any deep pocket action.
The Congo Basin is home to some of the largest tropical rainforests in the world. On governance, Africa has recently seen recurring coups, mainly in the West African states of Mali, Guinea, and Burkina Faso, some of the countries that were not invited to the summit.
It's a really, really difficult time. So I imagine that African governments will come looking for more assistance from the United States on the security part, because they can impose sanctions, right? But it's not just a stick. You have to be able to afford offer a carrot. And in most instances, the institutions simply do not have as much resources to be able to offer a carrot.
The summit opens on Tuesday and ends on Thursday. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, reports it's stepping up critical aid to thousands of refugees and internal displaced people in conflict-ridden northern Ethiopia. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Aid agencies report they now have unhindered access to Ethiopia's northern Tigray, Afar, and Amhara regions. They say the November 2nd peace agreement signed between the Ethiopian government and the rebel Tigray People's Liberation Front is holding. Millions of people, especially in Tigray, have been largely deprived of food, medicine, and other essentials throughout the two-year conflict. Since the peace treaty was signed, UNHCR representative in Ethiopia, Mamadou Dianbald, says his agency and partners have been able to increase the level of assistance and protection within the region. Speaking from the capital, Addis Ababa, he says, as of this week, the UNHCR has been able to send in 61 trucks loaded with much-needed relief supplies into Tigray.
This is a game changer.
It is an opportunity for us. Will it last or no? I don't have those capabilities to predict that. Things remain always fragile, but all steps taken by both parties are very encouraging.
Bald says UNHCR has relocated 16,000 Eritrean refugees to the recently established Alamwach site in the Amhara region. It also has assisted more than 7,000 Eritreans who had been stranded in two other camps in western Tigray so that they can rebuild their lives and stand on their own. He says he met a recently relocated refugee a week ago who told him how relieved he was that his children could finally go back to school after more than 2 years.
The fact that they were resuming education, that was indeed a heartbreaking to hear, that during all this time they could not have it, and very much relieved that we are able to help refugees, children resume education and start normal life, but also the impact of that on the families that they have been hosted.
Bald says the UNHCR also is working closely with local authorities in northern Ethiopia to support Ethiopians displaced by the conflict. Between January and October, he says, the agency has provided various protection services, shelter, household items, and other services to more than 2 million internally displaced people. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
December 10th is World Human Rights Day. The date was chosen to commemorate the adoption by the United Nations General Assembly in 1948 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the first global enunciation of the inalienable rights of humankind. Just 3 years after the end of the Second World War, and still stunned by the horrendous crimes committed against civilian populations, the United Nations General Assembly made the codification of a set universal human rights a top priority. The final declaration is based on the premise that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights, as is explicitly stated in the Declaration's first article. The Declaration, which came into force in 1950, inspired the development of international human rights law, as well as the International Bill of Human Rights. Since 1950, December 10th has annually been celebrated as Human Rights Day to commemorate this important achievement of the then-fledgling United Nations. On this day, the Nobel Peace Prize is formally handed over to that year's winner. And every year, the observance is dedicated to a different aspect of human rights. This year's theme is Dignity, Freedom, and Justice for All. President Joe Biden recently expounded on the foundational nature of this document. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights enshrines the human rights and fundamental freedoms inherent in all people, no matter who they are, where they come from, or whom they love. It is a foundational document that proclaims a truth too often overlooked or ignored, that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. From the root of this universal idea has sprung transformational human rights treaties and a global commitment to advance equality and dignity for all as the foundation of freedom, peace, and justice. As a world, we have yet to achieve this goal, and we must continue our efforts to bend the arc of history closer to justice and the shared values that the UDHR enshrines, said President Biden. Just as we advocated for the recognition of universal human rights following World War II, the United States today remains steadfast in our commitment to advancing the human rights of all people, and to not leading by the example of our power, but by the power of our example.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1-202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1-202-630-8011.
This is a message in the Public Interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with the song Beledi by Mawa. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Kifaya leni na kulu Watata bele tani na de Bishilu nina kulu Lakin le finas tani Lisa kiseregu Lakin le finas tani Lisa kinyakamu Lakin le finas tani Lisa kikatulu Lakin le finastanin Lisa magiru dua kule Le ya beledi Itabikatulu jenataki Le ya beledi Itabiturudu jenamimbe Le ya beledi Itabikatulu jenataki Le ya beledi Itabiturudu
Anasma Baba Gali Ae Fia Yamzama Anasma Buba Haki Gali Fia Yamzama Ethiopia Shilu Gambela Egypt Shilu Halai Uchad Deru Darfur Ugongo Deru Bazi Uganda Shilu Arua O Kenya Shilu Nadapal Ubagi Alfa Dulude Ae Barakesimu Uyala Sibu Sudan Deru Shilu Abiei Le
Ya Beledi Itabikatulu Jenataki
Le
Ya Beledi Itabiturudu Jenamimbe Le Itabikatulu jenataki Le ya beledi Itabiturudu jenamimbe
Le Le ya beledi Ya beledi Le Le ya beledi
Tabele tani na de kifaya leni na kulu watatabele tani na de bishilu nina kulu
turatabele tani na de kifaya leni na kulu
watatabele tani na de
bishilu
nina kulu
le
ya beledi itabikatulu jenataki
anagasalu
le ya beledi
anubele
itabikatulu jenamimbe
anagali
le ya beledi
Yeah.